following message is from New Life Gillette series, Road to Grace. This week, Pastor Mike brings us part three of this series.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the guys over at the prison and everybody in your living rooms. This is strange, but whether you're sitting on your couch or watching from a blanket fort like my family probably is, we want to say welcome as we begin to experience some change in our lives. I noticed a couple things that stood out to me as big changes that happened to me this week. This is the way our life group met this week, which is kind of strange and not exactly comfortable. Everybody looks really angry, I'm realizing, in this picture, and I didn't get anybody's permission to share this. My wife is like mid-blink there, so that's just kind of strange. But we're just kind of getting used to this social distancing, not being around people thing. And I've seen that people have gotten very creative with their ability to separate themselves from people to protect themselves. And you got lines in the grocery store and don't get too close to people and 6 foot and all this stuff. I saw this yesterday in Walmart. This guy is wearing a bird mask. I'm not exactly sure why he chose that mask as an opportunity to protect himself, but I didn't get his permission to share this either, but I'm guessing he loves the attention based on the outfit, and somebody needs to tell him that this is not the bird flu that we're protecting ourselves from. A lot of change in our world. A lot of change is going on, and so we're just kind of getting comfortable with it. I want to tell you about a tool that's available to you as you watch me today. On the right side of your screen, if you're watching on newlifegillette.com, there is an option on the bottom that says notes. And I'm going to be going through a lot of notes today. And so if you want to click that and follow along with me there, it may help to kind of keep this all straight because we're going to go through some lists. And I think that'll help you if you'll use the notes feature. If you're over on Facebook, feel free to go over to newlifegillette.com and you can use all the tools that are available to us there. I want to start today with a question because I think this question is important for all of us who are contemplating who God is or what kind of God the Christians worship. And it's this question: what do you think God thinks about when God thinks about you? What do you think God thinks about, or how does God think about you? Maybe you think God is a tyrant God. He's a big bully in the sky who's just kind of watching you, hoping that you make a mistake so he can punish you because he enjoys that kind of thing. If that's you, then you're not going to choose to follow God. You may pretend like you will follow him just because you're trying to avoid punishment from this kind of God, but you definitely don't love that kind of God, tyrant, bully God. Or maybe you think of God as a weak God. God is some desperate angel floating on fluffy cat clouds, just begging people to love him, looking for friends. And you're definitely not going to follow that kind of God. Now, you may pity that kind of God, but you don't respect him. So it's very difficult to follow somebody that you don't respect. Or maybe you just think God is an illusion. He's part of our imagination, our idea of explaining, our way of explaining things that we can't understand. So you would say, God doesn't think anything about me because God doesn't exist. God's not real. And if that's you, I would argue that you do believe in a God. You don't believe in the God we believe in, but you believe in a God. You just call that God the Big Bang. And the Big Bang doesn't have thoughts either. He appeared millions of years ago and then disappeared as quickly as he appeared as a bunch of accidents took place. And as a result, we just happen to be here. But really, what is God? God is what we came, the conclusion we came to when we said, this is where we think we come from. And many of us came to the conclusion that God came from, or that we came from, a God named the Big Bang. So which one of these are you? I think this is an important question for you to answer for yourself because I think there are things that we can understand about ourselves by figuring out which one of these three things we think about God. If you think one of these three things about God, they probably have a correlating idea that's created some kind of misconception about what you think about yourself. Like if you think God is a tyrant God, that will have a direct effect on what you think about yourself. So our view of God affects what I think about my life, number one. So when I have a good day, I think, well, God must be happy with me. But when I have a bad day, I think that God must be mad at me. God is a tyrant, bully God. In other words, we think that God takes his emotional cues from us. He doesn't. God is not making his plans based on his emotions about how we are acting in our lives. So, what we have to remind ourselves is that God is not a bully. God is your father. And he loves like a father loves. If you think God is a bully, you might be tempted to think like a victim. It may frustrate you how unfair the world is and that some people have more than other people and that you don't get what you deserve, you think. God's some bully. I don't get what I want. Or our view of God can also affect what I think about others. Early in life, we start to separate the people that we respect from the people that we look down on or from the people that we pity. If we respect someone, we follow that person. If we respect someone, then we listen to what they have to say. We may even want to be like the people that we respect. But if it's somebody we pity, maybe we'll give to them. Maybe if we are really extreme, we'll be generous to them, but we definitely don't follow them. So to these people who think this way about the world, we have to learn this about God. That God is not desperate. God is self-sufficient. If you think God is desperate, it may make you actually begin to become prideful. You may start to think that you're better than other people. You may get skeptical of the motives of other people and begin to ignore your need for God. Because you've kind of put everybody in a category and you know what people are motivated by and you can get people to do what you want them to do, and instead we are called to humble ourselves. And finally, it can affect what I think about the world. If the world is your God, you may even worship it. If you believe that this all happened by random chance, you may even personify nature. You may begin to refer to nature in relational terms, like Mother Nature. You might think that it, nature, is more valuable than the people who live in nature. Because nature is kind of like a god, right? But nature is not God. And God is not imaginary. God is not a figment of our imagination. God is the creator. And if he's not the creator, then what does that mean about us? If we're just accidents, what does that mean about us? It means that our lives are meaningless. If God is not the creator, we are simply dirt with consciousness. And we wonder why everybody's so desperate or depressed all the time. We're depressed because we think life is meaningless, whether we admit it or not. So if I can, I'd like to tell you what I think about God. I'd like to tell you who I think God is. And I think the correct view of who God is actually affects the way we look at the world in a very helpful way. I think that God is love. In fact, God doesn't even need you to believe in him before God will love you. Because God's love is given. It's not earned. He's not sitting back and watching and making sure that you don't do anything wrong to decide if he should punish you or not. God is not desperate and looking for you to love him before he will love you. God is in and of himself self-sufficient and eternally loving. And all these misconceptions about God happen because we begin to think that love is earned. But love is not earned. Actually, the way we think about love, it is, but the kind of love that God describes himself as is not an earned love. So reflect on your own life. Have you ever experienced love that was not performance-based? that was not a result of being earned. And this is just kind of how we live our lives. We have to perform in school. We have to perform in sports. We have to perform in popularity. We have to perform in our careers. Our parents didn't really know it, but they made us perform because they compared us to our siblings and said, this one does this better and this one does this better. So we learned to perform in that way. We had to perform for a mate to attract a mate that we wanted. We had to perform to make friends. But that's not the true kind of love that God's talking about when God talks about love. Because God's love is not earned, but it must be accepted. It's not earned. It's freely given. But it must be accepted. If you are trying to earn God's respect, you will fail. But if you're trying to accept his love, you can't fail. I'm going to say that again. If you are trying to earn God's respect, you will fail. Because his respect requires perfection. But if you are trying to accept God's love, which is freely given, not earned, then you cannot fail. Because God loves you, not because of who you are. God loves you because his love is perfect, not because you are perfect. I don't need to know anything about your character. I don't need to know anything about what you do for a living, how much money you have, what you've done in your past. I don't need to know anything about you to know what God thinks about you, to know that God is madly in love with you. But Mike, you don't realize what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I can't even tell you. I'm so embarrassed about it. It doesn't matter. God loves you unconditionally. Just as you are. Watch this.
Do you ever get bored with your average day-to-day existence? I sure do. Well, I should say I did. Then I decided to do something about it. You see, conventional wisdom says that you live your life, and then when you're older, your parents pass away and you get whatever they have left, an inheritance. I'm sorry, but that just isn't good enough. I mean, come on. Give me the money now so I can really enjoy it. So here's what I did. I walked right up to my dad and I said,
Dad, I want what's coming to me right now. That's what my younger son said to me. What's coming to me? Right at that moment, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll give you what's coming to you. Who does he think he is demanding things from me? But he's my son and I love him. And as much as it pained me, I decided to give him what he asked for. Let him search for a better life on his own. Not long after that, he packed his bags and next thing I knew,
I was out of there. Kiss that boring place goodbye. There was a whole world waiting for me to discover it. So, the first thing I did was,
he got lost. Hey, I love him, but he's no Magellan. In fact, I heard that he had to stop 4 times for directions before he got out of our hometown.
That's not true. It was 3 times. And one of those times doesn't even count because I couldn't understand what the guy was saying. I just nodded my head and left. And besides that, the only reason I wasn't good with directions is because someone never took the time to teach me.
Don't go there.
Anyways, that doesn't really matter. The point is, I did find my way out of town, and then I began to live it up. I had it all. I had more friends than I knew what to do with, the best clothes money could buy. I was eating like a king. And the ladies, what can I say about the ladies?
Here's what I can say. None of them were ladies. Oh, they may have been female, but they weren't ladies.
Okay, never mind. None of them were ladies. But the friends, the clothes, the food, man, they were awesome. Until
his money ran out about the time the whole country hit a recession.
There wasn't any work to be found. Man, I tried, I really did, but I couldn't find work. I searched and searched, and I finally got a job as a manager. Well, not really a manager, but an associate. Okay, okay. I was a bacon preparation assistant.
Which means?
I took care of pigs. I couldn't believe my life had come to this. I had wasted everything my father had given me. I wasn't really making any money to speak of. I had no place to live, and I had no food to eat. There were days I would have even eaten the disgusting scraps I had to feed the pigs, but I couldn't. They wouldn't let me. So with hunger pangs and a constant reminder of how I squandered my life away, I lived a life of misery. Day after day after
day after day, I watched and I waited, and I ached in my heart as only a parent can for his child. Most importantly, I never gave up on him. I believed that one day he would return. I just knew it would happen.
One day it hit me, and I realized that back at my father's house, his lowliest worker was doing better than I was. They had a place to live, they had food to eat, they were living like kings compared to me. And so I wondered,
what if he never comes back to his senses? What if he never comes back? What if I never see him again?
Again and again, I ran things through my head as I made the long journey back to my father's house. I knew what I would do. I would humbly ask him to hire me as one of his workers. I couldn't ask him for a handout, and I had no right to ask him to take me back as his son. But maybe he'd let me work for him. Just
maybe today he'll come home. That thought ran through my head every day. Maybe today I'll be sitting here waiting and watching, and I'll see him appear off in the distance as he makes his journey back
home. It's a word that describes so many things. Comfort, care, security, acceptance, love. And now I was just a few hundred yards away from it.
It was a beautiful day. I was sitting out on the front porch enjoying a cool breeze when I saw him.
He stood up out of his chair, looked my direction, and squinted his eyes to get a better look at me. I wondered what he was thinking. I wondered how he felt about me. Would he tell me?
I told you so. I told you he would come back. None of you would listen to me, but I knew. I didn't ever give up on him. I knew.
I just knew he was gonna be angry. The closer I got to the house, the more I knew I had made the wrong decision. So I stopped.
He just stood there.
I couldn't move.
I couldn't just stand there. So
he jumped. He literally jumped off the porch. I'd never seen him do that before. He was like a little kid all excited about something. And then it hit me. He was excited about me. So what did I do?
You know what I did? I ran.
I ran.
My heart was pounding, and all I could do was run to him.
I'd never seen him run so fast. His arms stretched out as if to say,
"Welcome home," I shouted. But he was still too far off to hear me. But we kept running. We both kept running toward each other. I just wanted him to jump into my arms like he did when he was a little boy. I wanted to let him know it would be all right. As he got closer, I could see tears running down his face.
He was crying.
Tears of joy. You know what my son did next? He jumped.
I actually jumped. I was so excited, so scared, so I jumped. And my father.
Yeah, well, we fell down. He's a big boy. And then?
He hugged me. My father embraced me like only a father can. "I'm so sorry," I told him. "Please forgive me. I don't deserve to be called your son."
My son. My son is back. Bring him some clothes. Go get him some new shoes. Prepare a meal. No, a feast. For my son will no longer live life as an orphan. Today, we will celebrate, for all of our hopes have come true.
I guess it was hope that kept me going. A hope that my father would have mercy on me. A hope that in some way he would take me back. A hope that I would be
forgiven. It's all forgiven. I'll never bring it back up. There is no blame. There is no anger. There's no shame. Nothing but joy. For my son was lost, but now he's found.
You've probably heard that story before. It's a story that Jesus told. We read it in Luke chapter 15. And perhaps you can relate yourself to that story somewhat. If you've kind of stumbled upon this video today and you're not a normal churchgoer, you need to know that your Heavenly Father, the one who created the world, loves you unconditionally. And he described you, those who choose to follow him, as his children, as his kids. He says, I love you like a perfect father loves his children. And this is what Jesus says about children. Jesus says, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. We read this passage a lot right now, and it's just kind of surreal to think of this is how God talks about us. He wants us to come to him. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to people who think like kids. Why? Because kids understand love in a way that we can't. A baby never expects to have to earn love. A baby is born expecting to be taken care of, expecting to be loved. But as we grow, we get a little bit more cynical. We start to realize that we have to earn love from people around us. We start to learn that we have to earn love if we're going to get it. So we, as we move on in life, begin to expect something in exchange for love. As a result, we think God must be judgmental because people are. We think God's desperate because people are. We think there can't possibly be a God because of there's so much evil in the world. There are so many things going wrong in the world. There can't possibly be a God. But we think that because we see the way that people treat each other. That people don't love like God. That people don't know how to love unconditionally or to give love without expecting it to be earned. So what we have to remind ourselves, if we want to begin to believe in God as the children would, we have to again remind ourselves that God is love and God's love is unconditional. People who say, I'm not going to quarantine myself because I'm young, and what they end up doing is putting older people at risk, are proving that we do not know how to love like God does, because God puts others first. The first consideration is, how will my actions affect other people? How will what I'm going to do affect other people? Why? Because I am called to love unconditionally as he does. And it's a good thing that he does. Because if he didn't love unconditionally, we could never earn it. Paul told us that everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. In other words, his standard is perfection. We're not going to impress him. We can't do anything that is worthy of his respect. No one deserves sacrificial love from God, except for Jesus. Jesus is the only perfect person. And because the standard is perfection, Jesus is the only one who can make the deal that sets us free. Because he's the only one who can be perfect, he's the only one who can pardon. And he will pardon. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty. When he freed us, he pardoned us from the penalty for our sins. So what's the catch, right? Okay, what do I got to do to earn it? How much money do I have to drop in the offering plate? We don't even pass an offering plate, especially when we're not meeting in this room. There's no catch. He created a path and he asks you to walk across it. That's it. Then can we boast that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal, our pardon, is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So how was the prodigal son rescued from his miserable life, having rebelled and pursued his own desires? How was he forgiven? Was it by being good and doing better so that he could re-earn the love? No. He was saved by running to his Father. You are never too far from God to be welcomed into his family. You have never sinned too much that God's love will not still be freely given. There's no limit. So if you're watching today and you're kind of trying to figure out where you are in this relationship with God thing, I need to tell you that he hasn't moved. That he is still freely offering his grace to you even now. There's a banner below the video that I'm in right now. If you will click that banner and give us your information, if you are ready to take a step and run back to your Heavenly Father, run back to him and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for running away. Because he gave you gifts that you don't even know about yet. He gave you an inheritance that you can't even comprehend yet. And we've squandered it away. Every one of us, we all have sinned and fallen short. But if you will decide, I'm going to run home to my Heavenly Father, he will forgive you and he will welcome you into his kingdom with open arms. He's created a path for you, because the reality is when you were born, there was a barrier of sin between you and God. But when Jesus died on the cross, he created a bridge across that barrier and he invites you to walk back home to him. Will you make that decision today? You can begin the journey by praying a prayer like this, and you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to have a relationship with you again. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Amen. If you're ready to pray a prayer like that, would you please click the banner below me? And just give us your information and tell us that you're making that decision. We want to send you something in the mail that just kind of gives you some next steps that you can take in your faith walk with God. And we thank you for making that decision. And don't just let this be another day, because today you've made the greatest decision you will ever make. And so we welcome you to the family of God. God, I thank you for how you are working in our community, how you are drawing people to yourself. Make us your hands and feet. Even as we are not together, we can serve you. God, make us lights in our neighborhood to point people to you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.